Welcome everyone to Parkway Commission meeting for today, fourth quarter meeting, November 29th, 2012. We have a very ambitious agenda before us here. What we're going to do, as you might see before the draft agenda that we have, is we're going to open up with just welcome and introductions and go around the room and say who we are and what you're doing here, basically. And then we're going to turn things over to Carol Zoff, who's going to walk us through what's going on with the Minnesota Great River Road Corridor Management Plan. Then around 2:30, that's when our regular meeting is going to start, so we'll take a break around 2:30 to make sure people can get up and walk around a little bit and so forth, and move ahead with commission business at that time. So that, in sum, is the plan. Again, feel free, because we're going to be here for about 4 hours to get up and move around as need be, but we will take more of a formal 5-minute break or so around 2:30. So I think what I'll do is start with Carl over on the far end of the table.
Okay.
Just say who you are and where you, what you're doing here.
All right. Go from there. Carl Samp, I'm the citizen rep, commissioner from the Brainerd II, but not including Elk River segment.
And I'm John Schaubuck. I'm the commissioner from Grand Rapids to Brainerd.
Mr. Ron Mulry, I'm the commissioner from representing Hastings to the Iowa border from Wabasha.
And Chris Miller, commission director.
I'm Shelton Johnson, state legislator representing Southeast St. Paul and the current chair of the commission.
Frank Haftel, I'm the MnDOT appointed commissioner.
I'm Mark Anderson, I'm the commissioner at large, also secretary treasurer.
I'm David Kelleher from the Minnesota Historical Society. I'm the staff representative technical advisor.
Go ahead on the side there and just...
Tony Moska, I'm landscape design specialist at MnDOT, Central Office.
Andy Tricka, also MnDOT, GIS mapping.
Scott Bradley, MnDOT Office of Environmental Stewardship. And I think you're apparent to Frank whenever our... leadership gets a letter to you.
Okay. Good. Welcome.
Oh, I'm Diane Henry Wagenstein. I'm with the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Ryan Smolkowski, Kimmy Horn.
Jessica Lutz, Kimmy Horn, just here to listen.
Craig Hubinger, also with the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Very good. And, of course, Carol, introduce yourself.
Carol's off with the Minnesota Department of Transportation.
Again, welcome everyone. Thanks for being here today. And we will go through and approve the agenda and minutes and all that sort of thing again around 2:30 or so. But for now, we're going to move right into the Great River Road Corridor Management Plan. And I'm going to turn over to Carol, who will walk us through that. And take it away, Carol.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. As you know, about a year ago last August, it was announced that the Minnesota Mississippi River Parkway Commission was awarded a National Scenic Byway grant to conduct a new corridor management plan for the Great River Road in Minnesota. And so today what we'll do is introduce you to the different tasks and the timelines, et cetera, and what we're trying to accomplish with that project. The corridor plan leaders are the Minnesota Mississippi River Parkway Commission, and Chris serves as the project manager. I'll be serving as the technical and strategic project manager as well. And then the National Park Service provided the local match, and they are also, we are implementing several of their projects, one of which was funded by National Scenic Byway Grants as well, into a statewide effort. So some of what they're doing here in the Twin Cities will then be applied statewide. The Minnesota Department of Transportation, as mentioned by Wolves, serve as the strategic project manager. And then the Great River Road statutorily and the Parkway Commission statutorily have responsibilities that the commissioner and our staff are also participating in. And then the Legislative Coordinating Commission will serve as the fiscal agent and administer all of the contracts. And the Trust for Public Land, when we wrote the application, was interested in helping to work together to because we have very similar objectives in some of our works. We have not been able to specify exactly what those roles will be at this time, and I think that once we get going with the project, it has been, I should mention that the project has been delayed. I'll go into the next, the funders. The Federal Highway Administration provided 80% of the project through a National Scenic Byway grant, and then the National Park Service provided the 20% local match through the Mississippi National River and Recreation Area. And so it took almost a year to actually facilitate interagency agreement between the Parkway Commission, the LCC, and the National Park Service. We had, I think we ended up with three different versions before everyone agreed on that. And so it just took time. So what that means is that we're actually starting about when we would have a year ago. The project purpose and time span is to develop a Great River Road corridor management plan to guide the work of Minnesota's Mississippi River Parkway Commission and its partners for the next 10 to 15 years. And these are the people and the places and the activities that we are going to be doing this work for. It's all river-based. You can see it's from, you know, 0 to 90 years of age. Lots of different activities, lots of placemaking. There's history involved, culture, recreation, all the intrinsic qualities and activities that any other byway has are represented in Minnesota's Byway Commission, or Great River Road. This quote is from the grant application, and where you state what the byway traveler, how they will benefit. And this project benefits the byway traveler by increasing their enjoyment of a byway corridor where the river's ecological and economic sustainability and the livability of 60 river communities are priorities. Byway travelers will enjoy preserved and enhanced intrinsic resources within the context of a working river whose engaging stories they take home. Today's technologically savvy travelers, and I will note, try to anticipate what those technologically savvy travelers will want or use in river travel and travel planning in the next 10 to 15 years. And then active lifestyles will be promoted with more and better coordinated transportation choices to get travelers closer to and on the river and its natural environment for a more enhanced byway experience. So as the Parkway Commissioners become involved with the activities of the plan itself, please note that you will also increase your enjoyment of the Great River Road and the Mississippi River and the things to do and see along it. I'm just warning you because it is a great place to see and visit and do. So the plan objectives are to evaluate current and future conditions to develop strategies to improve livability for residents and visitors, embrace changes in personal and global economies. I mean, that one just seems to, you know, trying to anticipate those trends is going to be a challenge, but we will look at that. Protect intrinsic resources. We'll explain those more if you're not familiar with them. Reflect our residents' multinational culture and target market to international travelers. Will's objectives include expanding multimodal transportation options, applying context-sensitive solution principles, and we'll describe those later on, utilize technology to build community, market and plan trips, and track the results of the investments required to do all of this work. And then to designate and sign the Mississippi River Bicycle Trail in Minnesota. Okay, project tasks. And everyone except for the consultants, if you have some information on that we really can't provide to you, has a copy of, that looks like this, that has all of the project tasks. And that's straight out of the application. It includes the time frames and then the funds available for those within the budget. So in a nutshell, it is to develop and communicate. Actually, I'm not going to read these because we're going to go through each one as we go through. The project scope assumptions, and I will ask that at this meeting here, after I say these, that you know we want to think a little bit about this. We don't have to come up with an answer, but these are some of the assumptions: that we have a 575-mile route. That is the National Scenic Byway designated route at this time. It goes from the headwaters down to the Iowa border. There are 60 communities, 21 counties. There are actually 23 counties on the river in Minnesota, but the national route goes through 21 of those. There are 6 Minnesota destination areas. Those were developed during the last corridor management plan. We've been using them for convening regional commissioner meetings. We've been using them for marketing, et cetera. And then there's a 10-state context to all of this. It is a 10-state river, and so we'll incorporate that as well into the work. So I would just ask at this time, the previous plan, we looked at originally when the Great River Road was designated in Minnesota, it included a state route and then a federal route. Mostly the federal route is what was chosen to be designated as the National Scenic Byway. The Great River Road goes back to 1938. It also included 2 Canadian extensions that went from the headwaters and then went north to 2 Canadian provinces. Our previous corridor management plan, the strategy was to really focus in on the best river-oriented route, one. We could still market to things that were off of that route. Anything that's river-related, we would market, et cetera, and it didn't matter which side of the river it was on. But
Carol, if you want, you could pass around that development study if people want to see it.
Okay. The 6 destination areas have been pretty well. And we've been using them well, and I think that the people like the mapping. They seem to like that we have. One of the reasons we developed 6 destination areas is that when byway travelers, very few people have the time or the inclination to travel all 575 miles in Minnesota. It also creates an opportunity to market the specific intrinsic qualities of the different river areas, and then it also allowed us to actually, from a Google search standpoint, put the word Mississippi out in front of the names of the Great River Road areas, destination areas, because not everyone knows that Mississippi means Great River, or vice versa, through linguistics. The other thing that we found through our intercept survey of travelers along the river in our previous corridor management planning effort was that not everyone wants to go to the wilderness, and some people would loathe to come to Minneapolis. I'm sorry, but it's true. They think it's too urban. Now, we know better. We know that it's both natural and urban, and that's the beauty of it. But, there are traveler preferences as far as where people wanted to go. And so these destination areas helped us to frame travel experiences based on travel preferences that we were told about during our intercept surveys. So I guess one of the questions I would have for you is, do you think that we should continue with these project scope assumptions? Or should we have some wiggle room? Again, we have time. We'll be writing the request for proposal after the first of the year. And we hope to have the contract underway in April. Any thoughts?
Carol,
yes.
I think it would, because we're going to go to the community and we get feedback from the community, that would be the time to look at that, to say whether the input from these communities or the people along the community are pointing in a different direction. Maybe they're able to recount some personal experiences or whatever. What's that might motivate changing that? But I think it's great. This would be a challenge just to fulfill that.
Any other thoughts?
One question I have, and I guess I'm not real clear on the mission of the Parkway Commission in general, and I know that Scenic Byways funding is primarily focused on tourism, and your objectives are pretty much tourism focused, except for the livability issue, which involves a lot of things. But isn't there a, you know, an economic development stewardship type charge to the commission as well? And is it possible to cover that maybe a little more specifically?
Sure. Speaking of which, the mission of the Parkway Commission is to improve the quality of life for our residents and visitors. And the objectives to achieve that mission are to develop and enhance the Great River Road and its amenities, and to promote the Mississippi River Valley and the Great River Road. So there is that, there is, like, for instance, resource protection, enhancement, and promotion.
Thinking more of economic issues and if local people along the river don't have jobs, they're not going to be able to live near and enjoy the river. And I don't, you know, is that part of the scope of the commission? Or
well, there is a we talk about personal and global economies, mm-hmm. So I think that job, the job creation and retention is a part of that, and. You know, Bill, I can get into a little later on when we talk about our GIS effort for assessing the resources along there. We are utilizing at least part of some of the work that the Minneapolis Riverfront Partnership is doing, and I can, it's pretty, it gets into a lot of what you're talking about as well.
Carol, can I mention, because we had a program in October you were at, of which we had four speakers who came from river development on the economic side, the community development side, that spoke to this. And I think what really came clear to me in that is that there's no division between these issues. And I think the words that were used, and Paul Leibovitz was one of the speakers and gave a great, great speech on this, conservation doesn't cost, conservation pays. And in that theme, you could see how towns that are branding themselves around the river, using it as a tool to attract people to live, to bring businesses in, because the quality of life creates a magnet for the kind of workforce they need. I think that's what we can build through this process, is tie that so people don't see these things as an either or.
That's correct.
University of Minnesota, the Office of the President and the Office of the Provost are really interested in looking at this, bringing their academic areas together to look at what are the impacts of a riverfront on a community and how can we do a better job of measuring what those are so we have better decision making around it. Not all economic development is equal. So how do we foster quality of life and how do we measure that? It's a big job. We're a little organization as the Minneapolis Riverfront Partnership, so we definitely are looking to partners to try to figure out the most effective ways to answer that, and maybe taking it a few pieces at a time. We've looked at estimated market value and looked at park improvements and are trying to see the connections there, but when it comes to state interests as well, this is getting a little bit off the Great River Road exclusively, but the legacy funds, nature, culture, and arts, water, all of those together, their sales tax generated, how are sales tax revenues actually affected by some of those investments, particularly around the natural resources like this. So that tying the pieces together, having an integrated approach to this seems like a good one. I don't know what resources you have in the planning process to take that on, but maybe identifying it as a need would be helpful.
Yeah. Excellent.
Say, Scott, you're welcome. Why don't you have a seat at the table since you're going to be joining us so you can see a little bit better what we're doing there.
All right. Well, another project assumption is that we're going to honor the Great River Road history. It has a foundation of planning reaching back to 1938. It's really still really valid. The tent, and then it also includes the advantage of there are 10 states working in a coordinated yet independent manner on these very issues. And we just came, several of us, from a 10-state meeting down in Louisville, Kentucky, and the work that Tennessee is doing is really excellent. Kentucky's doing great work. A lot of the states are, so we have a lot of opportunity to learn from them and vice versa. In fact, we do have in the proposal the requirement that this is the work is at the end of it is presented to the 10 state group to receive feedback before it is finalized. And the other thing too about the history of this is that the Great River Road and the Parkway Commission are 75 years old next year. So the 10 state group is looking to celebrate that. The Marketing and Communications Committees are developing those ideas from a national perspective. But certainly, I think that the corridor management planning activities can also leverage that and use it as a branding for the corridor management plan. What's the next, we say 10 to 15 years, but really what's the next 75 years? There are decisions that are being made today that enhance or detract from the river experience as we go forward, and so we'll be looking at that. But I think it's a good opportunity to leverage that 75th anniversary and that it is a historic byway. You can see this is from that poster that was developed I think in the 40s, and it says, the Mississippi River Valley is rich in historic, scenic, cultural, economic, and recreational values, which, if interwoven into a definite master plan, will utilize these natural gifts and assets using coordinated effort of all the states and provinces involved, something that will be developed that will be of lasting benefit, not only to the valley, but to the nation as a whole. Lofty goals, but we try to reflect that in the work that we're about to take on. And it also says that, so our Mississippi River Parkway Planning Commission is working harmoniously and persistently, so remember you guys are harmonious and persistent, to develop the Great River Road on both sides of the river as a backbone to which will be attached many existing and proposed parks, historic places, magnificent and breathtaking lookouts and vistas, roadside parks and rest areas, public launching ramps for boats, wildlife preserves, fine fishing and hunting, floral adornments, recreational areas, thousands of lakes, peaceful vistas of rural scenery, palms and pines, corn and cotton fields, beautiful cities and towns, and many places where our people can lose themselves among nature's gifts and away from the tension and problems of life. I think that still is really, really valid in what we're trying to reflect in this project. I'm now going to proceed down the task list for each task. And so the first one is a communication framework. We have had conversations with MnDOT's communication people and others involved, and there is a project work team that talked about how do we actually communicate effectively across 575 miles and 60 communities and 21 counties. And one of the ways in which we will do that is to enhance the existing website. We're still working with our current provider, and this is hot off the press communication from today. These are some of the reflections that we heard back. And he's calling it a microsite, so it's basically going to be a web page within the MNMississippiRiver.com site. And it'll include a landing page explaining the project, so this will be very project-specific. And then there'll be an interactive map, which will utilize the GIS database, the resource assessment. Are wondering if we want to allow filtering so that as if we're talking about historic components versus recreational components versus maybe some demographic information, that we can toggle that on and off just for clarity, etc. And there'll be an ability to zoom in and out. They can make comments. If we're soliciting specific task information to get feedback or solicit additional information locally. And we talked about a project events calendar. You can see we're still in discussion on this. There are some questions. We will have it developed as ADA compliant. And also responsive design so that it is available on mobile and mobile-friendly devices.
A couple of questions that our current provider has asked is, how do we assess MnDOT's GIS database? And that's what Andy and Tony have been working on with some mapping that I can share with you that'll go into some current interpretive panels and also into other websites. We send it off to the Park Service and other people who ask for it to incorporate that in their work. And then the event, how will that be populated? I mean, these are some of them are just technical questions, but I just popped the whole thing in here. And then how do we encourage yet control and the comments as they come back and forth? These are some technical questions. If any of you have been active in this kind of web-type interface, we would certainly enjoy your advice on those. Are there any questions regarding...
Just add, in looking at taking comments and posting information through this whole process, we looked at other models out there, too, like the St. Cloud River Planning Initiative that has taken place, and they won an award for their community involvement process. And we're able to do online public meetings and have people commenting on their drafts, and so we do have a copy of kind of what their process was, and that's something that we're looking at to try and, utilize the best of what's out there, too.
A couple of questions. I have traveled the River Road from here to New Orleans several times. I have family in New Orleans, and I have a lot of friends who have taken their boats from here to the Gulf. And for me, it's interesting to think about traveling that road, about the tax capacity. If you are in my district, 63, my entire east border is more affluent. A lot of the houses in the River Road pay a lot more taxes than the houses just half a block from the River Road, from the Parkway. If you go down south, you see kind of different things, right? Commercial fronts. You see little towns that are, historic towns that are just in total decline.
Yeah.
And then you see amazing roads like the Parkway in Minneapolis. I'm curious about our capacity to assess that because it seems to me that if towns have the capacity to tax the way my city does, Parkway, and develop, the Parkway scenery and the attractive Parkway view, because the river is there, the capacity exists to do that because people are very attracted to that. And they're willing to pay four times the taxes because they want the house in the River Road, right? Have we assessed that capacity in the 10 states? Do we have information? Because part of the of what I see, it's kind of this different, which is the difference is dramatic in some of these little towns. And unless we build some sort of kind of a more level capacity, it seems unreachable, the goal of maintaining and promoting and doing all of these river town life seems, so different. There is just so much inequality in the process. That how do you do that? How do you truly coordinate and promote and do all of these things when you have a little town that is dying versus, houses that are $2 million and just, a 100 miles away from that? So do we have that information? Have we done anything to kind of explore that and assess that capacity?
Property tax values are included in some of the work that the Minneapolis Riverfront Partnership have included as a part of their template, and that we are looking at. So there is, if that is something that we want to look at, we certainly can. Because it's already in there, that's something. And that's, Ron, I'll show you a slide. I don't think that we can accomplish statewide necessarily everything that Minneapolis is able to do on a more microcosm level, but maybe we can. And that's where we need to talk to, our GIS folks and others in the other agencies, too, because not all the information is what MnDOT generates or manages. So I I believe I hear what you're saying is that trying to look, and I think too that that's one of the benefits of having this statewide effort, because individual communities can't necessarily do everything that some of our more sophisticated communities can.
What might be helpful, and I would, maybe the university, there would be somebody, Schneider or somebody else who might be helpful with us, is to look at comparable kinds of communities and look at, to compare them to each other, not to try to compare Minneapolis to a small town in the Bluff region, but maybe having, looking at different stories from those areas so that the communities have a chance to learn from each other about economic development and the Parkway. I don't know if that would, if you guys have the capacity to do that, or maybe could intrigue somebody at the U to work with you on that.
And, like I said, we are going to be developing. Part of why we're having this meeting right now is to help us refine our scope, because you can gather a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the questions that we need to answer before we agree to get XYZ data is, what's the question we're trying to answer? So, we would definitely welcome any additional thoughts on how, what are those questions that we're trying to answer, and then we can go after the data that can help.
So, Carl, just so I understand this slide correctly, will we be able to go on the internet then and see where things are at with the comprehensive management plan? And this will allow us to do
that? That's the point of this. Yeah, it's not
over the next 2 years, whatever, we'll be able to go online and be able to see how things are moving along.
And then potentially it'll be used as an ongoing stakeholder input. Versus the traveler. It's kind of like bywaysonline.org.
Okay, that's what you talked about, Carl, essentially.
Versus the consumer website. It'll be linked right now. It'll be the same lead-in, I believe. It'll be a tab, a specific page within the website.
And this isn't up yet?
Nope. No, we haven't contracted for it, but we were... our MnDOT communications people thought that it would be very appropriate, and we could get out ahead of the corridor management plan and get this set up in advance by just utilizing our current provider.
Okay.
Those questions you have at the bottom, are you looking for answers? Is that what you'll try and get answered through the process?
Right. Yeah, as we go forward, those are just some of the things that we were asked actually this morning.
And some of the things on commenting users, we might be posting documents that we want feedback or comments on, or want a mechanism that people can provide feedback right from that page and not have to go back out to a contact us page and hit a bunch of separate buttons to get back to us on certain things. So, we also talked about ability to upload documents and photos from those commenters or users, and can we do that right now? And making sure that we can. Those were some of the things that were talked about.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd want us to regularly look at it, too, to give you feedback then, the commissioners?
Yeah.
So that'll be kind of an expectation of board members.
Yep. So another task is to fabricate and install the Mississippi River Trail signs statewide. And at previous meetings, we've had Liz Walton and Dan Collins present their work on this. An update from them is that they currently have received the Mississippi River Trail signs for the segments all through the state.
The sign plan.
Plan,
right?
Sign plans, excuse me, sign plans, yep. And then there are still, as you can see, there are three different time frames in which they, at this time, are proposing to install, fabricate, and install those signs. I will note that the Metro signs, they have been receiving feedback that there is a demand for those sooner than later. And so if you have any thoughts on that, you can share them with us as well. One of the constraints that we have as far as all of the project in general is balancing our expenditures by fiscal year. That's one of the concerns, but we think that we could shift that, the Metro signage into an earlier year, and we would still be good with our project flow and budget flow. We should note that MnDOT received Minnesota American Planning Association Innovation and Planning Award for its work on the Mississippi River Trail Bikeway, which is a nice feather in the hat. And the Minnesota legislature at its previous session established the Mississippi River Trail as the first state bikeway under the Department of Transportation. So that, too, I believe, makes that then eligible for legacy funds, which will be a big benefit. And then in May of 2012, a portion of the Mississippi River Trail, and I believe it's from Hastings south to the Iowa border, was designated as the state's first contribution to the U.S. bicycle route system, and it's designated as U.S. bike route number 45.
That signage be shared with, like, on the same post as the Great River Road where they're congruent?
We encourage that that would occur. Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, anybody that's responsible for maintaining those signs would also encourage that. Yep. But I have not seen the sign plans that have been developed. But I know that that was an initial goal. Okay. The next task involves developing and then utilizing the Project Advisory Committee. When we did our current corridor management plan, we had 17 members. I think we had 11 different agencies involved. And it was very, very helpful. Basically, one of the first questions that we asked participants is that, does the work of this corridor management plan help you do your work? We didn't want to add work, but we wanted to add value to existing work that's being done. And that is, you know, in this day of partnership and trying not to do work twice, etc., it really, I think that we have a lot in common with many of these. But if you, and I know it's kind of small here, and we can get you a copy of this. When I went to print, it only printed one sheet of the presentation, so I apologize for not giving you these. But, you know, we're looking at the National Park Service, including the Trails and Waterways Group. That would probably be Randy Thorson, who has worked on, he's working on the confluence at St. Croix and the Mississippi River. He's working on, I believe, the confluence near the Minnesota and the Mississippi. Although David Wiggins is more involved with that. He's working with the Brainerd Baxter area, and I believe he's worked in a couple other, the Veterans Trail, State Veterans Trail up near Little Falls to Brainerd or Crow Wing State Park. He's been involved with a lot of the river and trail type initiatives statewide along the river, so he'd be helpful. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they've got a lot of properties that are either on or related to the river.
You can probably, Carol, just give us a copy of it in interest of time.
Okay, and then we would like your feedback on that. We'll send that out. We'll send this out electronically to you after the meeting, and then if you have others or specific people within these organizations that you think would be best to solicit their involvement, we will be starting up the Project Advisory Committee in April with the consultant work. The Mississippi River Trail and Mississippi National River Recreation Area maps, we will be printing a new version of the Mississippi River Companion, 30,000 copies. This is a requirement of the local match. It was one of the, how do we bring value to the MNRA, since they're providing 20%, but they do not have 20% of the mileage. And that River Companion is being, it's in the final stages of development as a part of MNRA's alternative transportation system work. They're in their phase two of developing alternative transportation system based on the Mississippi River Trail. So that will include the Great River Road and the Mississippi River Trail, as well as things to see and do along the river. And then they will print or develop printable statewide Great River Road and Mississippi River Trail maps that are drivable. So it'll be, whereas our current piece that we have right now, it's really not drivable, but it does send you to the website where we have both driving instructions and the map at a greater detail. Inventory resources, I've got destination maps here for each of the areas, and Tony has, with help from Andy originally to get the data, have developed these
I had experience trying to actually show somebody, send somebody a Google map of what the route was, and it was really, really hard. So I'm hoping that through this process that instead of having a PDF of a very large-scale map, there can be more kind of visitor-friendly scale. Or, okay, I'm here, how do I get to it, and then how do I navigate it? Where is the road? We have some businesses, for example, right at the intersection of the Great River Road and Broadway, who didn't really know they were on the Great River Road, and they are promoter businesses in the area. I think if they, for example, on our website could have a link to, you know, this is our place, and by the way, the Great River Road is right here, that would enhance the marketing too. So as you're getting up maps, we'll subsequent maps. Mm-hmm. Just mention that. Just making that a little bit more kind of 21st century mobile friendly link to how do I get from where I am to the road and where is it then.
Okay. I believe that some of the work that we will be going to that Tech Savvy as a part of this. We'll be looking at how to develop that. We're going to be doing it for the project.
Great.
So, you know, for the project website. There you go. So there are six versions of this map, one for each of the destination areas. What that shows you off to the side when you look at the legend is the types of resources that we have available currently in our database. But we'll be looking at other things like you just mentioned. And here we talk about not only what is there, but also trying to track change based on the implementation of strategies developed through the corridor management plan. So we use as an example the Mississippi Riverfront Results Initiative that Cordelia has been developing, and that is tracking impacts and targeting success is the outcome. And we'll be sending you copies of this, but this kind of gets at some of the questions that you just mentioned, and Mark mentioned about which indicators do we really that are best matched. We don't have an end point for this particular task, and we can always build upon it over time too. But the critical ones to meet the needs of the project as it's determined at this time include, and this is just using Cordelia's work as a template, environmental health, economic development and health, human access, human activity, and human health. Those are some of those. We also have, you know, if you look at the legend there, we have a lot of the intrinsic resources are mapped currently. That's where we were at the first, and those are basically based on what we developed with the current corridor management plan. So, you know, I don't know that we'll necessarily include spatial patterns of time, but we could certainly use transit uses, recreational boat traffic, bike and ped trail use, number of visitors to riverfront parks. We could look at where is the park infrastructure. We basically have a lot of that right now. We don't have a lot of the local parks, though. It kind of breaks down in consistency, although the DNR through the University of Minnesota did do a big effort on mapping it. Once they got past regional parks and level, it really started to become inconsistent. But I think that we can work with them to utilize the information they did have and maybe use this as an opportunity for at least the river communities, because theirs was statewide in scope, to maybe fill in any blanks. So we'll need to do some analysis with that.
Remind me, Carol, what are we looking at here again?
Well, these are potential data that could be incorporated into the GIS resource inventory.
And we'll
just give a little bit of, it would be okay. The Minneapolis Riverfront Partnership realized that in order to tell a strong story about how important the riverfront is in the community, we need to measure a range of things in a holistic way.
Mm-hmm.
So we started out with stakeholders saying, when you say riverfront vitality, what does that mean to you? What's important? What should we measure? And then we went to data sources and tried to track those. This is a huge list. We are not doing all of these, but it really began to communicate to our stakeholders, we're not going to be able to track everything that we think of as vital. Where are their connections? Where is there an indicator that tells a bigger story, that is it's an indicator that is telling a bigger message? So we've winnowed somewhat at this point for practical reasons, but this is a result of a combination of research and brainstorming about what does it mean when we see a vibrant riverfront. Senator Torres Wright was saying, property value is something there's such a big difference in communities. Why is that? And some of the others here. I would guess the crime level in those riverfront homes is that neighborhood is different than other parts of your district as well. Why is that? And what makes a place feel safer, or what makes a business invest here versus somewhere else?
So will we be winnowing these then? Is that the idea?
Well, in the Minneapolis project, we are, and I'm guessing that's what I hear Carol saying as well. This is, and there might be ones that we didn't think of that might be applicable on the state level. I will say, though, that the more I got into this work, the more I realized, this sounds a lot like the Clean Water Land Legacy Amendment. And so I'm wondering whether there could be some tie-in to, we're talking about history and art and nature, and how does development relate to that?
Mm-hmm. Well, and also related to that, when we were at the G5 up in Crosby, that the Headwaters Board for the first 400 miles is just undertaking a GIS database building effort that's focused on water quality. So again, we don't need to redevelop other people's projects, but we have received a copy of their initial data that they're gathering, the list, and so that'll be another one to coordinate with. There's others too that are being developed. The alternative transportation system that Henry's developing has a big GIS component to it that helps with both analysis and trip planning. Mm-hmm. To get at your talk about trip planning, how do you get around? So there is a lot of work that's going on that we'd like to.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And then, as I mentioned, our current GIS database, we currently do have a lot of the scenic, recreation, historic, archaeological, although not so much archaeological, natural resources. We don't have a lot on the cultural. That tends to be festivals and other events like that. But our calendar, for instance, we could do a calendaring thing that might be linked to coordinates to pop up those too. If people are in a certain area, they know they're going to go there and look at all the different events that they can go to.
Okay.
And then, as I mentioned, our another task is to incorporate the National Park Service's Visual Resource Protection Plan. Again, this was funded through a National Scenic Byway grant to identify and understand, protect, and enhance river road scenic resources. Chris and I are on the advisory team the project team for that. So basically what it is to look at views of the river. They're actually, I thought I had more on that. Maybe later on I'll, let's see. Just have to see if I can get to it. Okay. They are going to be opening up, reopening a website. It's mymississippiriverview.crowdlac.com, where people can, and this is focused on the MNRA corridor, they can either upload a picture or a description with pinpoints of their favorite views. And then the top 50 views out of that next spring will be assessed. So right now it's the effort that's going to be from December 1 through February 22nd. And we just got off, we're on an advisory committee for that. And they're still confirming, they're still finalizing this crowd map again. But I believe it'll be online as of Saturday and then through February 22nd. So go to the website, tell them your views. As I mentioned then, they tried this earlier, but it was a little, it wasn't well launched or publicized, and they only got about a dozen or so uploads. But then what will happen is that in the spring, those top 50 views from both the Great River Road, the Mississippi River Trail, and the river itself, so it's the three different modes of access to the river, we'll do a leaf-off assessment tentatively scheduled for April 12th through 18th, and then a leaf-on assessment of those views from June 1 to June 7th. So we're going to be looking for Parkway commissioners to participate as volunteers, both in uploading their favorite views and telling your people about it, too, to do it, and then also participating in the assessment. And
what's
so
the website again?
You don't need to worry about writing it down. You sure can. But when we get the final version of the materials and the website okay from that project team, we'll forward it out to all of you so you'll have the links. And they're still finalizing some of those dates. Yeah, they thought we'd have it potentially by the end of tomorrow, but as Carol said, Saturday, maybe sometime next week for sure we would have that out to you so you'll have all the links that you need. And they'd like that publicized as far and wide as you can. If you could put it in even agency newsletters or share with other people you know, they want all the view information they can get to
so
work.
So this is important for regional commissioners.
We will then
metro area.
This project, the Visual Resource Protection Plan for MNRA, will be completed in September 13th. And so we will then initiate the statewide application of this tool during the corridor management plan, but it'll occur like October.
You really should get it online by September if you want great views. I mean,
well, we're actually
during the fall color season.
Originally, we had thinking in those terms. We had originally thought that we would just have I think it was 4 or 6 months for this, but I kind of changed the time frame to have it run for a full year so we can get all four seasons in. Because there's some beautiful stuff that happens in the winter. I've got pictures of the headwaters and, you know, Minneapolis riverfront in after a snowfall that are just, you know, to die for.
And if I could just add, Carl, although this is about views in the metro area, that project team does want input from people that live in that area and don't live in that area. So if you have favorite views or people in your community like to see certain things when they come to that area of river, they want as broad a feedback as they can get. So please share.
Yep. And one of the things they don't want, because the Park Service staff could say their top 50 views, mm-hmm. and what they really don't want to do is make it seem like the Park Service is jamming these views down people's throats and then, oh, they're really valuable. Mm-hmm. So, and I'll go through a little bit of the assessment. It includes visual character units, which talk about form, line, color, texture, scale, and harmony value of landform, vegetation, water, and buildscape. It includes viewpoints, cohesiveness, variety, pattern, interest, uniqueness, borrowed landscapes, the dependence on those. There will be training involved, and to run through this. And these have been developed at a national level and applied at a national level, this methodology. So right now we're kind of along for the ride, but it seems like it's going to come up with basically a more empirical valuation that's based on a consensus. And so there's intensity and duration of use, and so that has to do with if you're on the Great River Road in a car, your experience is different than if you're on the Mississippi River Trail on a bike, which is different than if you're on a boat on the river. So those will be the three modes that we talk about and see if those views change, the appreciation of them or any of this, how you receive those views. And then stability, risk, and risk factor. And so that basically is, is it at risk for some negative impact, or is it actually, is there an opportunity? Because I kind of fed into this and said, can we also say it's an opportunity to improve the view? You know, this view is great. If we could just, hide XYZ, or if we could soften this or add some landscaping in the foreground, something like that. Okay, so that's the Visual Resource Protection Plan application statewide. Any more questions on that? Okay.
I just encourage the timing to have that, because I think there'll be a big splash at the front end of it.
and then interest will probably wane over the year, so having it right at the prime color season would be a great time.
Okay. One of the things that we're challenged with is that their final deliverables won't be available, and it'll be basically proprietary, and we really need to use what they have and honor that proprietary situation until such time as the project is final. The consultants and the National Park Service. But, I mean, it was written into the grant that this would be applied then statewide.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Carol, how are we doing for time? You got about 25 minutes.
Good.
Good.
We're actually getting well down on the list here. So the business plan will be developed out of this. This is something John Woods, if you remember John, former commissioner who has since passed, but he was an administrator at the Minnesota Historical Society and also a member of the Parkway Commission, and he really wanted us to have a business plan. He was very concerned that we are able to plan for and communicate what needs to occur to assure organizational and resource sustainability and maximize the return on investment. So all of the things we say are good, how can we prove they're good? And that gets back to that GIS measures. We're hoping that that technology can help us, you know, make it more empirical and track it over time. And then also, what are the things that need to occur to make the Parkway Commission more sustainable? You know, in the last quarter management plan, two very significant things occurred as a result of that. One was to increase the commission to include the five regional commissioners. And this was at a time when there was a movement to abolish all state commissions. And this one did survive, and in fact it was increased by 50% to include those. And you guys have been a tremendous benefit to the Parkway Commission, and can't thank you enough. And then the other thing was to change the statute to reflect the language that Explore Minnesota Tourism has, where they can receive dollars and then spend dollars, and they can actually make money. You know, the money you receive in may have limitations on actually generating revenue, but you are now able to receive and then generate income. So if one of the things that I have not done is develop a business plan, so if there are members of the Parkway Commission who have had experience in that activity, please raise your hand, because we would need your advice on that particular project task. And then also communications and public relations plan. Basically, what needs to occur to communicate and build community to assure organizational and resource sustainability and maximize the return on investment. I think that the electronic communication piece that we're developing up front will help us develop a method to communicate that is enhanced based on what we currently do, which is through email. You know, print material, et cetera, and meetings. But it needs more thought than that, especially as we look into the future. You know, webinars are a big help. You know, we have a piece that was developed as a result, basically, of a lot of John's encouragement, the glossy four-page piece that talks about the Parkway Commission and, you know, what the history, what it has done, what it's currently doing, and what it's planning to do. So those kinds of activities and product development will come out of this. And again, it's not my area of expertise. And Chris, I don't know if you've developed communications and public relations plans, but if anybody on the commission has have experience with these, we certainly will utilize any suggestions and advice that you can offer us. Okay. A goal also is to enhance multimodal transportation. It's kind of interlaced through several of the tasks, so some of these next slides, the final slides, kind of talk about some of the goals that are throughout the tasks. The MNRA, National Park Service's Alternative Transportation System, They have a first phase that developed a plan, and then now they're in their second phase. It includes a lot of nice ride stations that were purchased and placed along the river. It also includes online trip planning so that you can go to the elevator speech. There was that we would increase visitation to the park without increasing congestion. So it uses the Mississippi River Trail as a spine upon which other bike facilities or bikeable roads and transit options can get people to the park without having to drive to the park. Next steps currently are to basically they're just finalizing that project at this time. There's a meeting next Wednesday with the Trails and Open Space Partnership that MNRA hosts that'll talk about some of the final stages of that. But it's a really good, they're almost done, so we should, by the time we start our project, be able to launch these efforts. And that, I think, will help, you know, if we can use their trip planner as a template, I think that that will help us as well as using some of the work that Tony and has provided that you've seen on these maps.
Carol? One really important tool that I think the commission might be interested in is they're doing a project scoping. You can put in a project, and then when they have funding opportunities that they're aware of, they'll let you know, or they'll put your project into a funding request. So I think in terms of a collaboration where the commission relies on the activities of all the little communities and big communities along the river, that kind of tool I think will be very valuable if that's something that Great River Road can do as well, to build upon that potentially, trying to open up opportunities for local communities to get funding to their projects.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
So, and this is what the mapping looks like on the website. But it's a lot like the cycle path, if you've used that, or other trip planning, MapQuest, etc. Let's see. Okay. But that's true. I talked to Susan about that, and I'm not exactly sure how that process works out once they have received and where that all goes. And then technology, there's a lot of technology that we can utilize, and these are just examples of it. We talked about changes in personal and global economies. Less for more, everyone wants to spend less but get more. That includes, you know, several different elements of travel, fees, the on and underemployment, but you still have to live. I mean, I think someone said that, how can you even, you know, people that may be really pinched for, you know, income. I think actually the river offers a great opportunity for people to go and spend very little money or no money, especially if you do these active living kind of activities, and get out there and enjoy it. But counter to that, there also is great opportunity to really market it as either from luxury to, you know, birding to biking to other kinds of trips that people are willing to spend, you know, significant dollars on, as long as it's an enriched and well-orchestrated trip. And we mentioned that not all economic development is good development. These are maybe more than what we can actually bite off on, but it was some of the efforts that we were looking at for this. And that is about it for the different tasks.
There also, I don't know if we saw it, there will be information kiosks in communities as part of the MRT bike trail efforts.
True.
So they'll be doing the signs, the road signs on the route, the print pieces, maps and such, and then kiosks in select communities up and down the route. So they had that as well.
Yeah, I did have the map thing, but I didn't say the kiosks.
And I'm not sure what those will look like, but that's another effort that they'll be taking on.
And at this time, I think they were looking at one kiosk per destination area.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be looking to identify which trailhead opportunity they would then place those at. So, if I hope that, you know, we were able to explain the intentions of the project and kind of the flow of the work.
What are you looking for from commission members as you present this information, and what would you hope that
we would
do?
Well, I think the comments that we got thus far were really helpful. After this meeting, we'll send you out a copy of the presentation so that you can revisit it if you have opportunity, and then send us any additional information. We currently, the project management team consists of, Chris, help me out here,
Yep, and LCC as fiscal agent, National Park Service providing the matching funds. We've had GIS assistance from MnDOT, and I'm probably missing some folks. Frank has been there, absolutely. So there's been a core team of people working thus far to kind of get started with
and
the
Carl
agreements
too.
And everything, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the questions that I would ask you basically is, identify which tasks that you are interested in working on specifically, or if you would like to become more involved in the project as a whole. We certainly have room for more members on both the work team, the advisory team. When you look at that list, it doesn't necessarily include the Parkway Commission members, but certainly you would want a representative on there, but also on our ongoing business meetings, we have, four scheduled on a regular basis, and it is likely that as we proceed through the RFP development that we will send that out for review and comment. And I think, too, the different hats that everyone wears are each unique, and that if feeding in the institution or region that you represent, making sure that we're on track and that it will be applicable.
And there will be opportunities for involvement. Part of what will take place are meetings and focus groups up and down the river as part of the process, and so the regional commissioners would be really involved with that in helping get people from your regions involved, and really all of you would be involved with that. And as I look at the list that Carol had up on the screen, I tend to think of some of it as inputs to the process, and then some of the items are results that will be in the plan. So we were seeing both today. A lot of things that will be considered, and then there's kind of a list of products that we'll be dealing with coming out at the end. And so that just helps me to organize it in my own mind. If it would be helpful, we could organize it that way on a sheet for you, too. I might be the only one who...
No, I think I get what you're saying. I think it would be helpful.
Because some of the personal global economies, a lot of the things they'll be going in the front end of the project and will come out with a business plan, will come out with a communications and PR plan. We'll have, I don't know if we talked about visitor impression surveys, too. We'll go
in. Some of my slides didn't end up on this.
Yeah. So there are a lot of things that will be considered, and then a lot of things that will come out the other side. Yeah. But the sheet that you have does show you those.
Mm-hmm. Because
I included the meetings.
Yeah.
And that as Chris mentioned, we have funding in there for 18 meetings. So it would be 3 per destination area that we'd be going at different periods, an initial meeting with the communities, kind of a midterm, and then towards the end to verify that the strategies, the business plan, all of the products are meeting the intended needs locally and statewide. And then, as I mentioned, there is a meeting presentation scheduled for the 10-state commission to make sure that we are that they're aware of what we're doing, and if there's anything that they can add to our outcomes.
And it's helpful, too. We can talk about it on the other agenda when we talk about the annual meeting, but Iowa is developing a new CMP right now, and so we did get some information on that in Louisville and what they've been doing with stakeholder meetings and what they've included in their project, so that's helpful to see what the other states are doing as well.
But if there's anything that we're missing, I mean, we do have a budget, and we have calculated out per task what we anticipate. But if there's something that we just plumb forgot to consider, be interested in knowing that.
Are you and Chris the ones that are primarily in charge? What did you prefer to say?
Contact people.
Contact people.
About 4 years ago, when we had the task to really look at parks and trails, and I was chairing that committee, we had a visit from the landscape management office from the University of Minnesota, Mary Vogel. And she actually was the most important visit I had when I was assigned that committee. She kind of showed me how the system that they developed to map parks and trails was so important, and how connectivity was so important. And I just had no idea, you know, that many trails were being proposed and they had no connection with, you know, other trails and parks and things like that. And as a result of that, I was able to secure some funding to get the mapping done for that, and they completed that project about a year ago, and it was just, I think, amazing. I have those books in my office now. And I feel that the connection with the University of Minnesota is absolutely essential for that, because they have the capacity to really give us these instruments that help us build connectivity between communities and really understand that. For me, as a city person that has a lot of interest in the river, I also have interest in the river, you know, near Itasca. I want to know how what I do in my city connects with the people in Itasca, and just really have a cohesive approach. As a legislator, I think this is a priority for me. So I would like to really reinforce that message of connecting with the institutions that can help us do that work and inventories and assessments of what do we have, how do we use this existing resources to build connectivity in the state. I think Mary Vogel is very knowledgeable of this, and I would love to see if we can have more conversations about how they are mapping out the parks and trails system and how that connects to the river. And other rivers, too. I think it's pretty important.
If there's an opportunity for us to look at the, you know, the project description, mm-hmm. and then maybe reflect on the outcomes that, you know, maybe sometimes when you write up a proposal, what you actually end up doing is slightly modified. But mm-hmm. if we could look at that language, that would be helpful. And I, at this point, our, you know, with the LCC, they're, and with all of us, you know, we want to minimize the amount of contracts that we are developing as this effort. But but I definitely think that we can look into the University of Minnesota as, you know, potentially doing, you know, providing some of the services required. But I, you know, I think that we need to talk with your staff about, you know, that procedure, et cetera, how that all works out, so that technically we're doing it correctly.
Yeah, I don't know, Representative Jean Wiginius is also talking about environmental impacts. You know, she'll be chairing the Environment Committee. She's a representative in my district, and I think that's also a conversation that we need to have, because I think a lot of what we do needs to contemplate those factors, like environmental impacts, and especially we, you know, in the long term want to pursue other fundings like legacy funding to do other work. I think all of these things are connected. I think connectivity of everything we do is just absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm. And that is one of the benefits that the Parkway Commission brings, that, you know, early, well, when we did the first study, it was really clear that, for instance, Red Wing really doesn't have the capacity, and it's out of scope for them to be working on Bemidji issues. Mm-hmm. But they definitely work on river issues. Mm-hmm. And almost to a community, there is such amazing work occurring right now on river-oriented activities. And I think the opportunity for this plan is to tie that all together, as you're saying. And that is one of the goals, is to provide a statewide framework so that we can add value to the local efforts and leverage it and bring community and make it all connected. but it's not as easy. It's not that easy.
It isn't.
So, but we've got some time and we have some funding to do it, and I think we've got a framework. But any additional thoughts that, you know, we have on that, or that you have on that, we definitely would like to know that. And after the first of the year, you know, I think it would be useful again to we meet again in February.
Those dates are to be determined for 2013.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be very helpful to run the RFP, you know, through the committee, the commission. Again, the committee can work on it. The commission can look at it. I mean, does that sound reasonable as an approach? That will provide something for you to respond to.
That's the RFP for the quarter
marathon. Mm-hmm. But we'll, you know, if you don't mind, if we can contact you and talk a little more about that other effort, and some of the specific language, etc. And if there are things that are already developed in that, we don't need to replicate that. And I do know, because I have seen a presentation that Mary gave, that they have more data than what is actually in the final reports because of that inconsistency. But maybe we can better understand where the inconsistencies are along the river, and maybe we can address some of those so that we can put, because the local parks are really key to this corridor of green and healthy activities, et cetera, and economic development opportunities. Any other comments?
And I'll just say things might change, well, will change a little bit as we move along. It's a multi-year project with multiple funding sources. And so as we go forward, we have to meet the funding requirements of the National Scenic Byways Grant. We also have to meet the funding requirements of the National Park Service for the funding that they're providing as match. And some don't match perfectly across, so we have to make sure that we're meeting all those requirements and working closely with the fiscal agent office at LCC to make that all work. And they've been very helpful getting this all up and running and have done a lot to make that happen. And so we're trying to kind of even out the flow of the project so that it's manageable for everybody too with the staffing available. And that goes for the commission members around the table as well. So that's why it's a bit of a lengthy project, trying to make sure that we have the capacity to actually get it done.
Very good. Well, I think this would be a good time to take a little break, and we'll reconvene at about 2:30 with the regular agenda. So thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
She'll be around to answer any questions. Okay.
Hello.